This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack, yeah, and we'll back you, Blackhawks. You're flying high now, so let's wrap it up. Let's go, you Hawks, move on.
Session still alive, still doing that song at birthday parties and bar mitzvahs. I don't know if you know. Do you know who did that song? You know who orchestrated that? Who did the arrangement?
Richard Marx's father, right?
Exactly.
Dick Marx Orchestra. Marx,
the Dick Marx Orchestra. Mm-hmm. I'm not making that up.
Why would we both know that?
I know.
It's true.
I actually didn't believe it until you backed him up.
Yeah, because you're the I was drawing Dave into my nonsense.
Yes.
No, it's absolutely
true.
He's
a big jingle guy here in Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah. And Richard Marx is just one of the best guys to you'd ever want to meet.
And I remember as the Marx brothers, they killed in the movies in the 30s.
Not the same Marx family. Standing by the phone is our friend Brent Sopel. Good morning, Brent. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Good to talk to you. How's the mustache?
I've been banned from the mustache. The love of my life said, absolutely, it's either me or the mustache. Which one do you want?
I give major credit to the love of your life for stepping in and taking care of that for us.
You mean it's trimmed or it's gone?
Come on, Mary. What's wrong with my mustache?
Brent, you're a handsome guy, and now we can see the face.
Is it gone? Is it completely
gone? It is gone.
Come on!
It is gone.
That's unbelievable. Why is that not a lead item in the news this morning?
Well, you know what? Like I said, I had to pick the two, and I went with her.
Well, clearly you made the right call. I mean, that's not the
Absolutely.
Question.
Absolutely.
All right, we're talking with Brent Sopel now just because the Blackhawks, who had a rough night last night, losing 4-0. We'll get to that. But first off, I've told you this before off the air, and I'll say it again on the air. I'm proud of you, man. You got a great life story, and you not only saved your own life, I believe you're inspiring others to do the same. So one of the things that you want to focus on with your life is education and making sure that people get the best possible situation they can to learn at their level. And that's why the Brent Sopel Foundation is helping people with dyslexia. So what are you doing here?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, I didn't find out until I was, 35 that I have it. And I still struggle every single day of my life right now. And, one thing that people don't know, it's 1 in 5. You know, it's cancer is 1 in 2. Right next in line is dyslexia at 1 in 5. That's how prevalent it is. You know, you take a look at classroom, there's usually 25 or 30 kids, in each classroom. You got 4, 5, 6 of those kids that are struggling, with this dyslexia, what type. It's that prominent. And, you need to diagnose and get these kids tested early. If you catch it early, you're fine, no problem at all. But, those kids struggle with the self-esteem because they look at their peers and, why can't I read? But the difference is we learn a little bit differently. I tell everybody all the time that I didn't know what net money and gross money was until a couple of years ago. I could never figure it out, but I had to see it. Richard Branson, I watched a video of his who was dyslexic. He drew a net, round, then he put some stripes in there, then there's a fish in there, and then he said, you pick this up and you take it home. That's your net money. It took me 40 years to figure out what net money is and gross money is because I had to see it. And, dyslexic kids, we need to see it. So we learn a little bit differently, but still smart. 50% of NASA are dyslexic, the employees. That's what they want.
Do you believe, Brent, talk about your experience as a kid, because I would assume today the public school system, or any school system for that matter, may be more equipped for kids with learning disabilities like dyslexia, but I don't think that might have been the case when I grew up, when you grew up, when others grew up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, it's not like I get mad at my parents and say, oh, why did you do this? I was reading at a grade 4 level going into high school. Like 2 weeks in, the English teacher said, oh, Bert, why don't you stand up in front of class and read everybody, read to the class. Literally, I'm still scarred from it today. And you're absolutely right. You know, back in the day, they didn't know what it was. But, you know, we know what it is now, but nobody knows what it is in the same breath. You know, we figure about close to 20,000 kids in Chicago have dyslexia.
You know, you make up a really good point, too. You know, teachers don't intend to do that to a kid, obviously. But there's things in your life that happen to you in first grade and fifth grade and eighth grade, which on the balance of your life are minor. But they stick to you and they hurt for your entire life. And that's why we're so much better now at having a leg up on what kids are really dealing with. It's not a perfect system, but dealing with it before kids have to go through what you went through and others have as well. So it's another great statement for you to make to remind people.
With my foundation, you know, on my website, you know, I get emails all the time from parents or, you know, my daughter's struggling, you know, my son's struggling, so I get on a call and talk to them. But I say teachers are there to teach, not to diagnose.
Right.
Now, you know, if you see your kids, you know, struggling, they come back to you, you know, let's go get them tested. Because it is that prevalent. It's 1 in 5. It's also hereditary. So it's not going away. You know, so, you know, it's crazy. So they get mad at the teachers. They're like, you know, just, you know, you have to advocate as a parent. Nobody's going to advocate better than you, you know, as a parent. A lot of teachers don't know what that is. You know, my foundation, I hope to get at one point in time when we start getting into the education of the teachers about what, you know, dyslexia is and all the other learning disabilities, you know, because you can correct a lot of these, you know, you can still learn. You know, 50% of these people are working for NASA. Me? No, not so much. You know, I'm working my way to NASA, but still got a long ways to go. But there's brilliant people. Richard Branson is one of the richest people in the world. You know, Tom Cruise, and the list goes on. But it's all about diagnosing at a young age and get that self-esteem. Because we figure about 50% of the prisoners in the world, in every single prison, have dyslexia.
So, Brent, you know, if people didn't get a chance to last year, the thing you wrote for the Players Tribune on your story is amazing. And if you just Google Brent Sopel and the Players Tribune, it'll come up. In there, you say that your stepmom is one of the people that really helped you. And I can't imagine, you know, she obviously didn't know you were dyslexic and wasn't a special needs teacher to help you. So I can't even imagine the daily how much more work it was to try to get stuff done when you learn differently.
Oh, you know, she did a majority of my homework at the end of the day. You know, she pretty much did all that. If it wasn't that, the teachers were just passing me. You know, I graduated high school, but I didn't graduate high school. You know, as a winter hockey player. But I was labeled as lazy, you know, as dumb, as stupid, because you can't get this, and why are you reading like that, and that word is not there, what are you talking about? And that goes on today, and that's, you know, that's a big thing with my foundation is really starting to get awareness and real understanding that it's, when you talk about everywhere, it's 1 in 5, and, you know, 20% of this world has it.
It's amazing.
And yeah, of that 20%, you know, there's millions of people that don't know they have it. You know, if my daughter didn't get tested and found out what it is, I still wouldn't know what it is today.
Right.
You know, my struggles were still the same, but at least, you know, I've got that comprehension of understanding what it is. And so there was a weight, you know, taken off my shoulders that, okay, I'm not that stupid, but you know, I still struggle with it, you know, today because I didn't get in there and get the Wilson reading program, you know, to kind of rewire my brain, you know, to read. So, you know, that's the biggest thing, you know, our future are those kids. And we need to be behind them. We need to do the advocating for them because they can't do it for themselves.
How did it affect your hockey career? You don't have to read nonstop playing hockey or comprehend the same way you do in a classroom, but did it have a negative impact on you in playing hockey?
You know what? It was actually the opposite. The only reason I played 18 years pro is because I had dyslexia.
Explain that.
For someone with dyslexia, you know, there's no straight line A to B. You know, we have to zigzag. And I played most of my NHL career in fear, and that fear got me through, you know, all those block shots and not afraid to play through broken bones and things I shouldn't be doing. I lived in fear. Why? Because someday hockey was going to end and I was going to have to enter the real world. And it was the scariest thing ever. And it's still scary. You know, I still struggle. And it's been a long, hard 3 years, you know, from the day. But, you know, my brain, my anticipation in the game of hockey was probably, it was my best attribute. And so I knew where some guys were going before they did, even though I was slower. And, you know, I put that to my brain of, you know, being dyslexic. You know, we kind of look in a 3D vision. So my anticipation of the game, of where the puck was going, where the guy was going, and, you know, through the fear, drove me to do anything I had to do, you know, to win and keep playing in the game of hockey.
Yeah, it's funny because you hear it all the time in discussions of things like autism. It's not about what's wrong with you. It's about how you think differently. And I think you've done a great job of explaining it. And you're a courageous guy, bud, and obviously a good dad. And I really appreciate you coming on and talking about the Brent Sopel Foundation. If we go to the website, BrentSopelFoundation.org, we can donate right there to help and also find out what's going on, because I know you have events and things you're focused on all year long.
Yeah, you know, I've got a raffle going on there right now, too, to raise money. And the raffle would be a grand prize is 4 tickets to the Winter Classic against Boston in Notre Dame, 2 nights hotel downtown, limo ride back and forth, and a signed jersey for each. So, yeah, you know, you could donate on there. You could be part of the raffle, get on there buying tickets. You know, and like I said, every dollar goes to these kids, you know, to try and get the tutoring that these kids need, get the diagnosis at a young age. So, you know, they go down the right path. You know, those 50% of those prisoners out there, you know, if we could just touch 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, we can change their lives and we can change this world's lives, too.
Is your wife like kissing you better with no mustache?
It's a girlfriend. It's a girlfriend.
I'm sorry, yeah. A girlfriend?
Yeah. Well, fiance.
Well, so we were both right.
Meet in the middle.
Yeah, she does. That was either me, kiss, mustache, which one you want. So yeah. I didn't get my good morning kiss, but I had to work. So well, I'll work. I'll look for that when I get home.
All right. And next time you grow that thing in and shave it off, raffle off the hairs. I'm telling you right now, buddy. Big money in mustache hair.
I'll let you raffle it off. How's that?
All right. You got it. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Just one of the great guys right there.
Yep.
BrentSopelFoundation.org. And what Sandberg was referring to in the Players Tribune, you can just Google that up and read not just about his dyslexia, but the struggles that he had that were in no small part because he was dyslexic and didn't know what was wrong with him. It's a really gutsy
and
piece.
And his honesty to talk about the trauma of being dyslexic and not having that being diagnosed and teachers calling kids up to the front.
Yeah.
Think about how many times that's happened to kids and it has an indelible mark, negative,
forever.
On their lives forever, and it changes the course of their lives.
It's amazing. So good for him. BrentSopelFoundation.org.